as we sing and just utter the name of Jesus, the name that has power. We may sometimes say casually, but Jesus means Jehovah God is our salvation. Be present in our worship this morning and let your Spirit use us. Speak in us, through us, in spite of us, and touch our hearts together this morning, that we may feel your presence and your blessings. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Hurricane Katrina raised a national concern about safety and survival of people against natural disasters. The questions most people ask, will these nations be ever prepared to survive the next disaster more worse than Katrina? How can we prepare as a nation to survive worse disasters? That's a concern and thoughts goes in minds of people and even our members and myself as well. Some people suggest, well, let's look at what we have done right and what we have done wrong in dealing with the Katrina hurricane. Maybe we learn something and we can do better to prepare ourselves. You may have seen the news, the visit of ex-President Clinton and former President Bush to tour the devastation area. They also raised funds for the survival, hurricane survivors. They were asked a question. They were asked what the future holds for these people. They lost everything. And the answer was that the people need to begin thinking about their lives now and plans for the future. And it's up to us, the people, the government, how we can fill the blanks and the holes and the void in the lives of these people. When I heard about that and I read that, that's pretty deep thoughts to meditate on. Most people lost everything. They have to think of their lives now and plan for the future. And it is an opportunity for all, for the citizens of these nations, what to do to fill the blanks and the void in the life of these people. How can we do it? By just sharing the love of Jesus. Showing the love of Jesus that defines who we are as believers, as Christian family. The title of the message this morning, with Jesus, it worth all the effort. With Jesus, the impossible becomes the possible. The passage that used for the message this morning reveal that all Christians are called to care and to provide for the physical and spiritual well-being of those who follow Jesus. Chapter 6 of the book of John, as Holy beautifully read, thank you for reading of the scripture. Chapter 6, Book of John, tells us about Jesus and the disciple fed the multitude of people, 5,000 people, men, not including children and women. The people that followed Jesus came from all over the land of Judea and nearby cities and towns. No doubt, that there were people from different walk of life. The lame were carried on the stretcher up the hilltop. The blind was led to the hillside. I know the demon possessed was forced to come. Homeless, dangerous. I believe people, all walks of life, represent at that hillside. Each one has his own unique reason to follow Jesus. They may have seen the miracle, the power of God that works in Jesus' life. Some of them have said, I follow Jesus so I can be healed. Some of them observed the wisdom and the deep knowledge of his teaching, and they choose to follow Jesus to become his students. Some may have heard the prophetic voice speaking against the hypocrisy, the pretensions of the religious leader. People may say, I think he probably a prophet. Some follow Jesus. They have seen the influence among the poor and how he associated with sinners. And he was popular among the common people. They want to be his friend. Some may have heard John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, and chose to follow Jesus. He may be the promised Messiah. But you know, there were critics, were there, spying on Jesus. There were skeptics trying to figure out if they can take it. He is the true prophet or is one of those. People follow Jesus for different reasons. But there's one particular reason that unite them all, that make them come to follow Jesus. They wonder, they were hoping that Jesus would be the liberator, the defender, the deliverer, the conqueror to restore the kingdom of David. They were all together in that thought. That's why they were following Jesus. They were wondering, could it be this is the Savior? If it's He will deliver us from the oppressor of the Romans. You know why they follow Jesus? They want to feel secure. They want to feel that they are safe. There is a deliverer. But that was a wrong assumption. They bank on that and they were disappointed. The Bible tells us that's the fact. If you look at chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it tells us the reason why they were following Jesus. They have their personal reasons, but that's the one united goal. They were wandering and following Jesus from place to place. Look at verse Chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. I will read it for us. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intend to come and make him king by force, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. There you go. They were following Jesus for that particular reason. They want to feel safe. They want to feel secure that if he has the power of God, he can deploy that power and we can be set free from the oppression of the Romans. They were following Jesus from place to place. When Jesus saw their coming, interesting, because this event, this account, all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all write about this experience of feeding the 5,000. When Jesus saw the crowd, the multitude come, in a version of John, he turned to Philip and said, "Philip, where can we get the bread to feed them?" You know, there was a shocking response from Philip. And according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when Jesus saw the crowd coming, here's what Mark says. When he saw the multitude, he saw them with compassion because they were like sheep without what? Without shepherd. That's what the takes of Mark. When Jesus saw them, he saw each individual reason why they're coming to see Jesus, to follow Jesus. Jesus knows every reason. But the Bible says he moved with compassion. He moved with compassion. If you look at the beginning of chapter 5, it talks about that Jesus and disciples set an appointment. They would like to go away from the city. They want to have some quiet time alone. It upset the disciples when they saw the crowd coming. Here we go again. It disturbed them. Because they purposely want to have a solid, restful, peaceful time with Jesus. But when Jesus saw the crowd, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Because they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. When was the last time your heart has been moved with compassion to see the gruesome, horrific suffering of human life? Well, I guess we watch the news throughout these 2 weeks. I do believe that we all agree we're being moved by what have we seen in the news. Dead bodies floating. Bodies on the street. Thousands are still missing. And officials are still collecting their work, making it difficult because they are not able to identify the people so they can contact their loved ones to come and claim them. I know we all been moved by it. The questions to think about. Were your heart moved emotionally because of fear that suffering and what happened to those people could happen to us? Are we moved because we have that fear? If it happens to them, it could happen to us anytime. Or are we moved with compassionate because we saw the awful consequence of the suffering because sin bringing into our life experience? The fact of the matter is we all move emotionally because we have fear. It's too close to us. But for Jesus, he was not moved emotionally. His heart was moved in compassion because of sin that brought suffering and death to us. And that was his mission. That was his mission. like to claim us from the power of death as a consequence of sin. Jesus, when he saw the multitude coming, the disciples were disturbed. When do we have a private moment with your master? They were frustrating. But the Bible tells us Jesus spent times with them. Because they were like sheep without shepherd. I was reading the newspaper, some of the testimony of people. Joy Stewart was invited especially to get on board on a plane to come to San Diego. She was confused. She wanted to come. She also wanted to stay. She was sobbing. They extend the invitation. Come, go to San Diego. And Joyce told her story. She said that 2 days before Katrina struck the New Orleans, her son Billy was shot and killed. And she's waiting to see his body. Unfortunately, Katrina struck, destroyed everything. As she was crying, she said, "How could I go to San Diego while I have my son unaccounted for?" I wonder, Jesus moved when he looked at the crowd and the reasons and the longing and the desire they want to feel free like sheep as no shepherd. But Jesus reached out to them with a compassionate love. Compassionate love. Here are these people. The only hidden agenda they have, we want to have someone so we can feel that we are safe and secure. Don't we have that desire in our hearts? We need to feel safe and secure. That's what in the hearts of those people as they were following Jesus from place to place. And Jesus reached out to them in a compassionate heart. Serve them with love. Compassionate love. Not only he reached to them with compassionate love, but he invited his disciples to join with him. He said to Philip, "Philip, where can we get some food so we can feed them?" In the account of Mark and Luke, when the disciples saw Jesus get into it, teaching, healing, comforting, from morning till evening, they came to Jesus. "Jesus, it's time to let them go, so they can buy some food or find lodging." And Jesus said to the disciples, "You keep them things to eat." You know, my friends, Jesus extended invitations to his disciples. "Join me so we can reach out and serve and provide for the need of those who are following Jesus because they want to feel secure. They want to feel safe." But the first mistake the disciple made, when Jesus asked Philip, did you know what Philip do? He went to his bank account. It's in the scripture, if you look at it. He went to his bank account and he came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, here we 200 denarii worth of bread cannot
provide for the people. It's impossible. Isn't that sound familiar? When Jesus invited the disciples, they checked their assets. They looked what is available. The other disciples came to Jesus. I think Matthew said, the other disciples came to Jesus, 8 months of work will not have enough to provide to feed these people. And another disciples did an inventory. This is in the scripture. Andrews went around, did an inventory, came up with a small lunch, 5 small cakes, barley bread, and 2 fish. Jesus, this is all I've got. What are these compared to the multitude of them? It's impossible. My friends, this morning, the problem was the disciple take their lack of resources to distract them from trusting the word of Jesus. Look what they have. And all of a sudden, the noble invitations was kind of worthless. And they said, Jesus, we cannot do this. But thank be to God, He still insists to include you and I in a ministry of reaching out and helping people. Jesus, when Jesus invites us to be partner with Him, He will work His power within us. Do you know when they brought forward those small bread and fish, and Jesus started to give thanks to God, and He broke the bread and the fish and pass it to the disciples, and the disciples distributed to the people. You know what happened? It multiplied in the hands of Jesus, and it passes through the hands of the disciples, distributed to the people. When we accept the invitations, He will work His miracle within us. He makes it multiply. That's surprising. They were turned into assets, but not necessarily. There is time for it. You may remember the story of Elijah, Prophet Elijah. God commissioned him, you go tell the king that, you know, number of years there will be no rain, there will be a drought. He was trembled in fear, but he went. After he delivered the message, God said, what took off? Went to the place called Seraphim. You will find a woman and her son. Tell her to bake bread. Give the first baking treat for you and then bake some for them. You know the story. The mother said, this is the last portion. After this, we were ready to die. But Elijah said, do likewise, because the flour will not be used up and the oil in the jar will not run dry. Chapter 1, First Kings, chapter 17, verse 15. I read it for us. She went away, did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jar of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the words of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Family, when Jesus invited us to join with Him in the ministry of helping those who are looking for peace, want to feel secure and safe,
He promised that He will work His power within us. Not only did He invite the disciples to join Him, but He also opened for resources for the ministry. Not because He lacks of supplies, but He would like to bless what we give to Him. The little boy with just 5 little breads and 2 fish was willingly to give the disciples and to Jesus, but Jesus multiplied. What a blessings. What an opportunity. Not only He, Jesus, would like us, like our gift and our talents, but He also would like to use some of the things that we have willingly given to advance, to enhance the ministry of saving souls. He multiplied. And we learn from the scripture, 12 full baskets of leftover. When we give it to the Lord, He will bless it and it will overflow. He never failed us. We can keep ourselves. He can work a miracle within us. The story of David Perez, maybe some, most of us.
Amazing gentleman. He chartered poem 737 and went to Patton Ridge shelter in Alabama. Transport survivors, about 80 of them, and brought it to San Diego. When he was interviewed, why did you do it? Hear what he said. He said, I'm tired of sitting on the bench by the sideline. I want to act on the impressions that moves my heart.
When he brought those people, God was faithful in His promise. He would make it multiply. Other agencies crowded around Him and said, we can take care of those people. The point is, when we give ourselves to the Lord, He can multiply it. And He can put it in better use. Because when He saw the crowd following Him from place to place, He saw every need. The sense of insecurity. They want someone so they can feel secure. But praise be to God that He includes you, He includes me, He includes us. Little or whatever we can offer, He can bless it. He can use it. You know, the conference sent out a flyer appealing to all the churches. The list of all things that needed. We arranged for a big box with help of Mr. Flores Peter. If you move by the spirit of compassion that moved Jesus, we can do it. The time we can deliver it tomorrow. But when we do something, we will feel blessed. We will receive blessings. We can make a difference. Praise be to God for the miracle of feeding 5,000. It's an open invitation for all of us that we can be part of changing life. As Jesus moves in our hearts. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we ask that You move and continue to move in our hearts. Lead us in the right directions. That we may receive the blessings that You promise unto us. Bless our church. Bless our ministry. And humble us as You lead and guide in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray.